Hey everyone, you're listening to the official podcast of 4playernetwork.com. If you like games as much as we do and are interested in being part of a fun community of people like yourself, we invite you to visit the website and create a free account today. We do monthly game giveaways and encourage discussion via comments and even quick read editorials submitted to us by you. Of course, you can also watch us stream games every single day at 4pp.tv, and you can even support us on Patreon at patreon.com/4player. Anyways, enough of that, let's get on to the show. Hello everyone, welcome to 4-Player Podcast. This is our first podcast from PAX West 2016. Woo. I'm still not used to calling this PAX West.
I know, I hate it.
That's weird.
When did they drop Prime?
Well, probably
last
because
year was the last year of Prime.
Probably because.
But what made them make that decision?
Well, East it's is a bullshit so name.
There's a lot of PAXes now.
Yeah, but this has always been the biggest, right? Right?
Really? They couldn't maintain that this was the prime one anymore because East had gotten so big. And there's at least another, like, kind of redheaded stepchild PAX floating around the States. And then there's PAX Dev. And then there's PAX Aus. It's just... It's a lot, you know?
Very true, very
it's
true.
It's a lot to say that this one is the best of them all.
It kind of is. Anyways.
That's a big boast.
I don't think it is.
My name is Nick Henderson, and I am joined in Seattle, Washington by none other than Brad Simons.
Yes.
That's all you can muster? Yes? That wasn't even a yes or no question. It was... Okay, whatever. Christopher Guthridge.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? Hey, what's up, Nick?
Not much, Chris.
Yeah, cool. Not much. I'm glad I'm here.
Good, me too.
Cool.
And, of course, Edmund.
Most people.
We actually had this discussion.
Eddie? Yeah.
Is it Edifer?
Is it on your birth certificate?
Edward.
Edward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Edward or like Edward?
Edward.
Edward. Edward.
Edward.
Oh, Edward.
Yeah. Edward.
Edward. Yeah. Edward.
Like a ward against.
There's no O at the end. It's not Eduardo.
No. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Well, we'll just stick with Ed. Ed Mitchell's joining us. Also in Seattle, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the room.
Also in the room with us.
The one podcast I get to do every year.
Yeah.
We're
well,
going to have to take our word for it.
Now that we're in Discord, that might change.
Ah, true.
Edmure.
Edmure, there we go.
Edmure.
Maybe you shouldn't put your arms on the table, Nick.
Yeah, Nick, why?
I'm sorry. I'm the host. I can put my arms on the table.
Why guest? Now you're scraping
Stop.
Your zipper.
Okay, everybody just leave me alone. Nick. All right. Anyways, we're in Seattle, Washington for PAX West 2016. Today was day one. We're going to be recording one of these tomorrow night as well. It's for day two.
Day two. Yes.
And that'll probably be the last podcast, honestly.
I think me and Crispy, if you give us the recorder, we could do one on Sunday.
Day three!
Not live, but, you know.
Yeah, because
we'll
be traveling.
We'll have a wrap-up day three podcast.
Sure.
Day three!
We played a fair amount of stuff today. Today was also the day one of PAX always opens with a media hour, so mm-hmm. we get to go in about an hour early and play some stuff before the lines get too fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And we all kind of we originally wandered over towards South Park, the Fractured Butthole,
a fractured
which they were demoing with Smell-O-Vision.
Yeah. Oh no, the nostrilus or whatever they call it.
It was a thing you put over your nose, like it looked like a VR headset, but you put it on your nose.
We were daring each other to do it.
And I was gonna do it.
I was gonna do it, but it turns out. Fucking judge me, Brad. I got it.
We were about to do it,
and
then we realized
Dude was
oh,
about
it's
to
not
barf.
A it's not a gameplay.
No, yeah. So you don't actually play the game.
It wasn't a gameplay demo. You just watch a demo where play the game while you have one of these things on your face, and then he like subjects you to different smells. And then I was like, okay, well maybe that would be fun. But like, there was a dude in front of us who was doing the demo up on stage,
and he took it off for a second.
And
he was about
was
to vomit.
Like, yeah, he was not.
He was about to barf.
Looking,
which
good.
You know, my first reaction was that'll make a great video. People will love that, and I was like, they probably would, but I don't. I really didn't want to throw up. So we.
It's cool though. I mean, it would have made a good video.
I mean, is that gonna be a product that people can purchase?
It reminds me of those like.
So why are they doing it?
It's like
it reminds me of those like 4D rides at
Promotion.
Amusement
parks. Exactly. No one's gonna buy that and put it in their home.
It's like a South Park.
They're just
joke.
Doing it this is a funny
promotion. So you can't play the game, and you can only demo a thing that you can't purchase. It seems like a complete fail all the way around.
Nick doesn't understand humor, but
he doesn't understand marketing.
I have a degree in marketing, actually.
Well, then you get it.
I mean, but they're not marketing. They're not selling the product. They're marketing.
It's
Nick, it's okay.
Let's move on.
Hey,
well, clearly it failed because we all walked away from it. We didn't play it, or well, we didn't see it, or whatever.
It's not that dumb.
We might still.
Yeah, I mean, there's still 2 days of us being here. At least
probably left. Won't, but you know, keep believing.
We might go. We might go there again tomorrow, and then chicken out again.
What did we play, Nick?
Well, we spent our media hour. We played ReCore, which is in the Microsoft booth. It's coming out soon, right?
You know what ReCore is?
In September.
Y'all know why I've been hyped.
Okay. This is Armature.
It's Armature.
This is.
I've been waiting for them to have a hit. You know, they're it was made from the blood of people that left. Retro studios, people that made Metroid Prime, like key people that made Metroid Prime.
I
saw early videos and it had elements of like Metroid Prime in there, so I was excited. You know, I've been waiting for their hit. It was okay.
Yeah.
I think when you're saying that it was made from the blood of people, like really what I played seemed like more it was made from like the intestinal lining of people who worked on that game.
Man, y'all are gonna go.
No, honestly, the only reason I'm slightly negative on the demo was because I got stuck on a machine that crashed three times. I didn't get to complete the demo, and like it turns out, playing the opening sequence of that demo over and over again kind of just makes it not fun.
Oh, okay. True. To be fair, it didn't crash on me. I don't know if it crashed on Brad or Ed.
No.
And I found it to be fairly enjoyable.
It's a lot of combat.
I didn't really. Yeah, it was pretty fairly combat heavy, and I'm wondering if that was just their choice of the demo. Is like, let's put them in a combat heavy area because combat seems to be what.
But there was a good amount of platforming in it too.
It definitely.
But it was like kind of inconsequential.
So
yeah, it was.
So the crux of this game is essentially you have these like robot companions. One looks like a dog. You can shift it, turns into like a spider, and I'm assuming you get.
I think it's different different like pets.
They're different robots that you switch the core.
Gotcha. But you could switch between the robots on the fly, though.
Right.
And then you have color coded enemies, and each enemy is weak versus obviously that same color. So you use the D-pad to shift the cores in the enemy in the robots that you have, your companions, to match the color before you attack.
Yeah, so if you're like locked on and then you hit the button to like change out your robot or whatever, it'll change the color of that thing.
It will.
Yeah.
Without having to think about it?
It might be based on the like bullets you're firing or whatever.
Another issue I had with that is that like you're saying like these different colored cores and these different color ammunition, that is literally as deep as it gets.
Yeah.
Like I can't tell the difference between firing red bullets and firing blue bullets. They don't do anything different. They just affect enemies of that color differently. But like the red enemies have fire attacks. The blue enemies have electric attacks.
Yeah.
But like your attacks don't change based on that color. No. It's just like match the color.
Blue bullets. You're shooting red bullets.
You know how like the sort of the comboing or the combo. Well, not a combo system, but you know how it works, right? That you start to do more damage if you don't take damage. So if you're dodging properly, those numbers start going up and up and up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're supposed to be throwing charge shots in there too. Were y'all using charge shots?
Yeah. I really didn't feel like it was any like real different. Between like what was the point of using a charge shot over
the charge shot
would knock people back.
Yeah, because they did have like regenerating health too, so you had to knock a lot of damage off of them and then follow it up with more damage to make sure that their little like refillable section of their gauge went down.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it got to be a real pain in the ass. But like the combat is it looks like I didn't expect it to want, I didn't expect the game to want you to be as like mobile as you have to be to be successful.
Yeah.
Like to be like dashing around and doing a lot of jumping and shit like that. It almost feels like it's trying to ape something like a Bayonetta or something.
Or you know, maybe Mega Man. Because this is Inafune's working with this game as well. And I'm a little worried that they're going to make it overly difficult, like punishing, because hey, that's what Mega Man's supposed to be. even though Dude. This is more of like an armature thing in terms of
the I feel like whenever I got hit, I was like super punished.
I died. Yeah. I died twice in that demo when it wasn't crashing on.
But like you think about Metroid Prime, its best aspects aren't combat. It's not being really hard. It's everything else.
Exploration
exploration, puzzles, atmosphere, stuff like that, right? I think the core mechanics of this game are fine. I think the problem with having a lot of combat is for a few reasons. One, the game doesn't run that great. Especially when you're in combat, like, it chugs a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when you're having that much action with that much punishing damage coming at you, potentially coming at you, you need that shit to run smooth. You know, Bayonetta, you know, like a platinum game.
I didn't really feel it chugging that much. Maybe I'm just...
I mean, it seemed a little rough.
Here's the other problem. It was overly dark and just kind of ugly. And when all the particle effects were on the screen, like, especially when the fire pulsing and the shit coming from the sky, it was just a little too clusterfucky to keep up. And it was overly dark and ugly.
So the original trailer was out in that little desert area, right? Like the original trailer that showed when they announced the game.
We were playing pretty much purely indoors. So like an indoor area.
I wonder if, like, the environments are going to be more, like...
Varied.
I got some Mega Man Legends vibes.
I still wouldn't go as far as to call this game ugly, though.
I think it's ugly. I think it's like for a $40 game that Microsoft is heavily promoting. Like walk around that fucking indie mega booth and tell me there ain't shit that's way more beautiful than ReCore. ReCore is like a first party promoted thing, and it looks kind of like from the people that made Metroid Prime.
I think Warcube had more effective visuals than ReCore.
There are outdoor areas in that game. In fact, the demo that was shown at E3 that I saw a little bit of, it was moving around an outdoor kind of like desert like area, and it looked nice. And I think the character model looks good. I think the voice acting sounds all right. Sure, maybe it won't win any awards for being the best presentation or anything like that, but I don't think the game is... I think ugly is kind of harsh. Then again, I'm basing this off a very vertical slice. I will say, I did not go into it expecting damage numbers, and I liked the damage numbers.
Yeah.
I liked the boss fight, because just, it was...
You're different. Talking about that one that was like the little...
It's like this giant orb that floats around and shoots these enemies out, but
it was okay.
But it opens up little areas on top of it, like, all
and
around
then you
the
shoot
orb.
Them... And you, I mean, I don't know.
But, like, I liked the platforming. I liked the way you use the different companions to navigate, like, these...
They activate these rails. Like, Spider-Track boss.
Yeah.
But, like, that it seemed... It was nice that it was in there, but it was, like, pretty uninspired. While you look at Metroid Prime, they're clearly aping that.
Sure.
But, like, they do some really cool shit with that in Metroid Prime.
And I think in the demo, it was more just, like, more traversal rather than, like, exploration-based, you know?
It was like, we need to get you up on these spots. It's just in there. Yeah, it's just in there to spice up, like, it's just in there to kind of, like, pad the sections between combat. We're going to throw some platforms.
But platforming, for the sake of padding between combat, is almost always terrible. Because it's usually inconsequential. It's not challenging. It's not threatening. And that shouldn't be... the mind frame you use when you're approaching platforming, because that's when it becomes like enslaved and it's just like the thing you do, and it becomes boring,
which is the reason why I don't look at enslaved as nearly as high regard as a lot of people.
But to be fair, I think it is better than like kind of that Uncharted knockoff platforming. There's something to it, but maybe, I expect a lot from these guys.
Maybe,
you know?
I'm being nitpicky, but like it was also disconcerting that like you get to a point in the demo where you've completed this little quote-unquote puzzle and it unlocks the spider ball track, and you're finally like, okay, I can switch my robots to the spider and like use him to move along the track. And you do that, and then you go over to the track and interact with it, and it's just like an automatic, it's like a QTE of just your character going to the end of the track.
But you can jump off it whenever you want, which I did, because there was actually a point, it was supposed to take you up, it was supposed to take you up or up the wall or up across the ceiling over to a platform which you could then jump across and jump and dash
you just
across.
Off early.
But well, I jumped off early and did an air jump and then landed on it.
It's not very snappy, that doesn't inspire the thought that there's like a real precision use to it.
There's no like interaction with it either. You just jump on and
it
carries
might as well
you
be,
along.
It might as well be an elevator.
I will say this. I went into this very concerned that you know, I've heard Brad saying being very worried about it. I've seen some people saying they weren't very impressed with the footage. And, you know, maybe it's not perfect. I was worried I was going to play this and be immediately like, okay, I'm not really going to play that when it comes out. And I'm actually... I'm still very interested.
Yeah, I want to play it for sure. You know, I've been championing this studio, hoping for a hit.
I mean, it's a $40 title.
It looks like Hydrophobia.
It's kind of the
dude. I don't know why you keep saying Hydrophobia. This doesn't scream Hydrophobia to me at all. Go back and look at Hydrophobia. That game looks like garbage.
But what when I say Hydrophobia, I mean an indie studio trying to do a game, or like I Am Alive or something, trying to do a game that wants to look like a AAA game, but they don't have the money or the resources. I mean,
they're selling it for $40. They're not trying to be.
I'm saying, but like, it's $40 is coming out on disc. It's getting a lot of promotion, but it feels like a game that is like in that state before they start the polish. You know what I mean? But it's coming out in 2 weeks. And that it's almost disappointing to me, because I feel like, you know, this is like Borderlands before the Borderlands overhaul, art style overhaul. It needs...
Man, I'm not agreeing with any of these statements.
If this game looked better, I think people would care more. You know, I
think it looks like what you're paying for. You're paying $40 for this game. I don't think it's going to be the most polished game out there.
I paid $30 for the win.
It may not be the most beautiful game out there, but like, to call it ugly and to call it like... pre-polished, like I don't really buy that. I think it looks fine. Like I said, I don't think it's gonna win any awards at the end of the year for being the best looking game out there.
For sure.
But I don't think it looks like it hasn't been polished.
It's also like some weaker animations and stuff too. Like think about like you charging up the charge shot. It goes from like three different levels and there's like not even any like real cool particle animation. It just goes doot doot. Dude, like, it looks amateurish, man. I don't go around calling games ugly, but this is one of the uglier $40 games I've seen in a long time. And I saw all kinds of beautiful indie games that are probably gonna Grow Up is $10.
Oh my god!
You're telling me Record looks better than Grow Up?
I think it's like comparing apples and oranges. Like, why would you eat? Why like?
But I'm saying there's indie developers out there,
sure, yeah,
who achieve a level of polish and like art style.
But they're going for a different approach towards their art style.
Nitpicking something like that, like what you consider missing animations or steps in the animation, to you might seem like they're missing a step, but on their end, that may have been a creative decision that they made because they liked that.
Or they want it to be very clear about when it goes from one stage of the charge shot to another.
Okay, I'm going to play it.
Like
I'm saying it looks rough. It doesn't run all that great.
I use the charge shot a lot, and that never even registered in my brain as something that bothered me.
Right.
There were things that bothered me about the demo.
I am naming the things that are going to keep this from being like a big success. And don't ever think that like it doesn't matter if all you play are indie games or all you play are AAA games. Everyone's a goddamn graphics whore when it comes to buying games, and sure. I'm really worried about this
like,
game.
But I liked the character model. I think the environmental textures look nice. Like, I don't want to get into picking apart graphics, but I didn't.
It's
think
not
it
just about graphics
ugly.
Though. For a game with this much action, it should run better. It should run smoother.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, I agree with that.
I had a hard time keeping up because it was so like particle Shopping. Effects and mm-hmm. yeah. I mean. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's move on from Record. What did we play? I know before the media hour was over, I went and got some more time. Me and Ed went and checked out Hob. I know you played Hob too, Brad. And Hob was actually one of my favorite games of PAX last year.
It's really cool.
I mean, so they had two demos this year, and a lot of what they showed last year was, you know, it's a platformer, but it's mostly about as you move through the environment, you find things that shift the world and like change the way you navigate the world, and when you'll flip a switch and you'll see giant like towers raise up in the background, and the floor like the floors lower and raise, and everything's kind of geometric, and it's a game that's entirely focused on what are you doing, Brad? On reshaping the world as you're playing it, and I thought that looked really cool. So this year they had. Did we lose the feed?
Yeah, but it came back up.
Yeah, I'm changing the time to reconnect.
Gotcha.
We're good.
Anyways, point is, this year they had two demos. And we were playing on PS4. I don't remember. Were we playing PS4 last year? I think we played it last year. It was a PC demo.
Well, I thought it was a PC, but you were playing.
On PS4. You're right. We were playing PC with the PS4 controller.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Point is, they had two demos. The first one was more of kind of like an open,
like
explorer
world.
Outdoor area.
Looked like there were like little secrets around the thing. I couldn't get to them. There was one where like it showed like a person that was like had a sword like in the ground or whatever.
And
I saw it there and I was like, oh, maybe I can get there.
And you probably could have figured that out had you spent enough time. It seemed like this first demo was very much, it almost felt a little bit like an overworld to me. Like, it didn't seem like it was like a level or an area.
Remember in the demo last year, you had that one area where you went down. You went down to the underground, and you kind of like messed around down there. And then once you like clicked something or whatever, it changed the world up top.
I remember that being like a
It almost feels like that is sort of a like a next chapter kind of thing.
Sure. Well, that's kind of how the demo worked last year.
Yeah.
This just had two demos, but they were like from two different parts of the game. So you choose, and one was like open, more of an open above ground exploration area, and the other one was like a dungeon underground area. And it was more heavily focused on platforming and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed a little more separate, but we have seen the game running before where those two things were kind of intertwined.
Yeah.
It was just a little bit different.
I had some trouble with a little bit of the platform. There's that one part right before the first demo ends where you're like trying to kill the little bugs that are like flying around or whatever, and I would
fucking
like
explode.
I would like jump up, and every time I would get up there, I would swing towards the bug and then fall off because of the amount of movement that happens when you swing your sword. That was a little frustrating.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's missing from this game is a lock-on,
It
needs a lock-on. But the thing that I really still love about this game is it seems like it's gonna have some really cool fucking like upgrades and items or abilities that you get. I walked up and there's this like panel on the ground, and if you hold down R1, it'll shoot you across the map. But you can actually like turn it and tell it which way you want to aim. But the longer you hold it, the farther it will shoot you out. So you can actually overshoot yourself.
It's like
and just fly past your target and just keep going off the world. So you have to kind of be aware of how fast you're going and how far you're trying to go.
Right.
So that kind of stuff was really cool. I still think that game looks really promising. I'm super, super excited, and I love the art style.
My confidence comes from the fact that it's Runic Games. They're the guys that made Torchlight.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, they've made really good games that are like deep and long, and you know,
and hard.
Yeah. And hard and
veiny,
erect,
girthy,
and shooting semen all over my face.
Sometimes Brad takes jokes a little too far.
Do you even realize what you just said?
What?
But no, I agree with you. We asked them, and they didn't really have a release window or anything like that, so it sounds like they're still like...
Good, take their time. They probably have plenty of money. So.
Yeah. Still looks really cool, though.
I played the Final Fantasy XV Titan demo. Ugh.
Okay, so let's be clear, though. There is a hour and a half long demo you can play at PAX. You have to do one of these crazy things like they do with Resident Evil where you go and get like a ticket and come back.
Right.
No, I'm going to try.
Or you can just walk up and you can
play.
I'm going
to try to play too.
Or you can just walk up and play this.
The demo that was in the E3 trailer.
Yeah, which was honestly...
Fighting that giant
that Titan,
boss.
The Titan.
Yeah, it was literally the boss fight that E3... So E3 had two demos like this. It had this and it had Scalebound.
The Scalebound boss
and
fight,
two games that I think both have a lot of potential and look really good, but they chose really terrible demos. Yeah. And not only did they show that at E3, but now they're letting people play it. And it's just like, okay. I don't have a problem with that existing in the game, but why are you using it for demo purposes?
It is a bad demo because, like, it's really hard to figure out what you need to do, like, to be able to finish it.
Yeah.
Like, you had to do a bunch of warp strikes to, like, attack, which is, like, the triangle button or whatever. And you had to do a bunch of that, and it just was not clear. And maybe if I had played, like, 10 hours up to this point, I would have had a better idea about what to do.
Yeah.
But it felt rough, and it felt like an Uncharted sequence, like points where you're like running away.
What are you doing, Brad? Demoing any RPG is kind of
not good.
A gamble.
Yeah.
Because they don't demo well.
How did
Dragon Quest
7 demo?
I played it for like 5 minutes while y'all heckled me and.
But that was some funny-ass heckling.
It was some funny-ass heckling.
And the guy chimed in. Everybody else at the station was like, we were like, this guy loves Legend of Dragoon, and everyone was like, okay.
But anyway.
I was like, that game's kind of mediocre, and some dude turned around who was playing Dragon Quest, and he was like, yeah, it really was.
Yeah! He's like, you know what, you're right. Thank God someone had finally had the courage to speak the truth.
Fuck, I hate you guys.
So you're gonna, let's first thing in the morning, I'll play Final Fantasy, just because it was delayed, people might want to hear.
I'll maybe go with you.
It sucks, though.
It's an hour demo.
It's okay.
It's an hour long demo.
No, first thing in the morning, we're going to go try to schedule an appointment for Star Trek Bridge Crew.
I think I would pick Final Fantasy 15.
Is what we're doing. Bridge Crew, guys, come on! We can maybe, take command maybe of you virtual can, reality
Maybe you can rope Brad into doing that on Sunday morning when I'm not here.
You guys are fucking not my friends.
I mean...
You have a lot of Star Trek buddies?
A couple.
What else? Did anyone else play anything during the media hour?
I played Dead Rising 4.
Oh yeah. So this is the demo. What they had at E3. It's a time thing, right? Where they just
like they give you 10 minutes or something like that.
Let's try and move in close to the mic too.
And there is a mission that they want you to do. But it's the mission is basically just go to this firehouse, kill zombies, and then in the firehouse you find an exosuit.
Yeah.
And the real, like, goal of the
demo... Oh, so that might be different, because I don't remember anything about a firehouse.
Well, the real goal of the demo is, like, how many zombies can you kill during your playthrough, and they keep a running tally. And I had the high score of Media Hour. I think I got dethroned. But,
well, considering
I was 830-something, and they were like, you're on top of the fucking bar! And I'm like, fuck yeah, I am! Dude...
Because nobody else had played it at the
time. Well, there was... No. Brad didn't even make the board. He was playing the same time as me. And he didn't make the board.
Wow, Brad lost twice?
There were already other people on the board, and they were erasing names to put mine up. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Those were probably people from E3. Yeah. They were just like, let's remove these
probably
people.
Probably those fucking IGN nerds. Fuck yeah. But, gameplay-wise, it's Dead Rising.
It's fun.
It's Dead Rising
3. The exosuit is fun.
Yeah,
it's Dead Rising 3.
The series has kind of become like Dynasty Warriors with zombies.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing.
And the demo gives you...
I've never cared much for Dead Rising. I've tried. Yeah. But you know what it did? You know what did it for me in this game? And I don't know if it's going to do it enough that I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'll play this game, you know, for sure. But I love... The fucking Christmas thing is just charming as shit. Were you playing outdoors in the town hall and Christmas like music in the background?
Well, no,
and
that
snowing.
Wasn't going on, but it was like, I mean,
it's just charming.
There
right?
is that whole like, yeah,
and
it's gonna be the Die Hard of video games.
Yeah. It's like Die Hard, but with zombies and like lightning axes. That was the best part too. Like the weapons they gave you in the demo. They start you off with like incendiary grenades, a lightning axe, and a crossbow that shoots like Roman candle or like shoots fireworks.
That was my favorite.
Which is so fun. Which is so cool.
I was just shooting it up into the air looking at the
axe. When you get enough kills, you can do like an ultimate move where he's just like, Conan.
You can do that with all the melee weapons.
That's awesome.
It just did like an
AoE like thunderstorm that was like electrocuting zombies. It was cool.
It looks pretty good.
Here's the thing about the Resident Evil.
What?
I feel like this is a game that demos well because of the nature.
I was hearing that.
Because the nature of what you're doing.
That's going to come up. That's going to be
a pretty good drowning us out. Because we're going to fall out.
It'll be fine.
No, that's outside.
Oh.
No, that's next door.
No, it's
who cares? Hey,
you guys doesn't matter.
Dead Rising 4, you're killing lots of zombies with fun weapons, which is fun for 15 minutes. But is it going to be fun for like 10 hours?
10 hours? You think it's going to be that short?
Well, I mean, I'm saying. Okay, if it's longer, that is even proves my point even more.
Well,
it's.
I think it comes down to.
It didn't even
truly
seem hard.
100% comes down to how many weapons they give you. If they're all as creative and as fun as like the Roman candle thing and like pretty much everything they gave you in that demo was.
That is not going to solve that problem because Dynasty Warriors at this point has like 1,000 dudes with 1,000 different fighting styles, but it doesn't make. Killing all the...
Yeah, but Dead Rising is zombies and it has a story and...
I mean, nobody's gonna go to Dead Rising for, like, a super deep experience, but, like, It's probably one of the more fun non-first person shooter, like kill a bunch of zombies.
And didn't they get rid of the time limit in this one?
Yeah.
The series kind of it was a little subversive at first, you know.
I think a lot of that has to do with the time limit, which they've gotten rid of completely.
They've gotten rid of a lot of stuff, yeah. Like, so, you don't even, like, escort survivors back anymore.
I feel like this is going to be the Dead Rising.
It's like,
that
just kill the zombies around the survivors. Yeah. And they're like,
I feel like this is the Dead Rising that they're making.
Crazy Taxi or some shit. It's so arcadey now.
They're making the Dead... This is the Dead Rising that they're literally making for the people who didn't like Dead Rising.
That's what they did with 2. That's what they did with 3. They're still doing that.
Well, they didn't do that with 2, because 2 is, like, even worse. Because 2 has the schedule, and you still have to find... You have to find that fucking drug for your daughter every day. Dead Rising 2, off the record, is the one where they went back, like, a year later and were like, oh, that game didn't do so well? Okay, what if we put Frank West back in it, and, like, add a free play mode and just get, like, fucking stupid with it? That's when Dead Rising started to do okay.
Frank West. He's
pretty cool. Alright, what else? Anything else during the media hour?
Nope.
Yeah, we played Tekken 7.
Oh, yeah, it's still during media hour.
Tekken 7. How did that go?
Well,
let's... Okay. Yes, we know Crispy beat me. And like, a 2 out of 3.
I think you should just crush him next time, Brad.
I mean, I don't want to crush Crispy because that's not going to keep him...
He tried.
Brad's trying to spin this. Brad's spinning...
I don't want to spin it, but like, if I pick a character I'm really good with and beat him down, will he keep playing with me?
I think he... That's
will you?
No.
Oh, man.
If you think I had a jack... Sorry. I wanted to show you cool robot moves.
Yeah, okay.
I did try out some of the new girls. There was the girl who cried a lot, and then the tall girl that kicked really hard, but...
The girl who cried a lot.
I didn't have many opportunities to, you know, let's say do a dash in move, if you know what I mean.
I don't. I actually don't have any idea what you mean, but that's okay. I'll take your word for it. It looked cool.
Well, so outside of the fact that you won, did you think much of the game? I mean, what did you think?
I mean, I don't have a very nuanced understanding of fighting games, so it felt like a fighting game to me, but it was fun. Like, it was cool and responsive is a word that people use, I guess, right? I don't know, like, what? What do you want me to say?
Well, I mean, you played Smash Brothers.
Yeah, but Smash Brothers is just like different, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely it is. But I'm saying, like, a fighting game is you played some Street Fighter for a little bit.
I think it's very...
I didn't try Akuma. Oh, man, why didn't I try Akuma? You want to go play Tekken tomorrow?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
But I can't really, like, try out a new character when fighting Crispy.
you act like any character I pick isn't me trying out a new character.
No, it's not that. It's more just the way we're fighting each other is not conducive to...
Right,
experimentation.
It was fun.
I really don't know
how to talk about fighting games.
Sure,
I don't know. Like,
I hit a dude.
How were the graphics?
It looked really pretty.
Okay.
And the character I was playing was quite funny because she was a robot and she's like, "Hello, my name is
Alyssa."
No, was that her name?
Yes, that's
right. Oh, it was okay. She's like, "Hi, I'm Alyssa. You must die now."
She's pretty cool.
Humor.
Ha! I chuckled reasonably.
All right, that's a very robotic conversation we just had. That's great. All right, so for the next hour or two, I think I kind of lived vicariously through Crispy, watching him play things.
I was trying to rescue you from that tower defense game, and you weren't having it.
Well, honestly,
I watched Crispy play that tower defense game, and I had more fun watching him play that than I had watching people play that other game you were trying to get me to play, which was called Echo.
Well, you had...
Brad walked over and...
I was hoping you would play that.
Brad walked over and he was like, "Hey, Nick, there's a game over there that I think is much more your speed," which, what the fuck does that mean, Brad? Much more my speed?
Well,
I didn't think a VR defense game was your speed.
Was this the one where they had select that girl with the
Can
short
Can you stop
hair?
Using the word speed like I'm about? Slow?
What?
Are you talking about Echo or Eco?
Echo.
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 The one that looks like that weird Victorian future.
Yeah.
Brad came over and was like, you should go check out this game over there. It kind of it's giving me like, first of all, it's giving me like Dead Space vibes. Like, oh, okay. And then I finally circled over there, and I'm walking through the Indie Mega Booth, and I see Eco.
Yeah,
Eco,
ECO.
ECO.
And we were like, that doesn't look like Dead Space at all.
It looked like Stardew Valley or some shit. Yeah. I was like, that doesn't look like Dead Space at all. What the? And then right, like, two booths down, there was Echo.
And then we saw that, and we were like, that doesn't look like Dead Space at all.
When I said that, maybe y'all were taking it a little too...
Seriously?
Literally.
We don't understand how your brain works.
A slow-moving third-person game where that is kind of spooky. But I guess you didn't even understand that because y'all thought it was an arena shooter.
Dude,
it's just a weird-looking game. Like,
it was also one of those games, and this is maybe the case for a lot of games in the Indie Mega Booth. Watching someone else play it, especially if you don't have the headphones on, trying to kind of interpret what you're seeing is...
Echoes of
yourself.
I don't understand why they all look like you, but like that game has a gameplay mechanic, has a hook to it that's really interesting that it's really hard to kind of parse out just by watching us like a mute demo of it.
Okay, well let me explain because I actually played it.
Yeah.
It might still be early or whatever, but the goal was, it was pretty Alien Isolation-y or some shit, you know?
Please don't use a game that you've never played to describe that.
I've played Alien Isolation, Nick.
You have?
Yes.
I thought you told me you have no interest in playing that.
Correct. That's why. Because I played it.
Oh, I thought you... I thought you never even gave it a try. Okay, never mind.
I played it at
Disregard.
Multiple trade shows. You remember.
No, I don't.
Anyway.
Okay, never mind.
Where I was trying to get to a point to get a key that would open a door while trying to avoid the things in the environment that were trying to kill me if they spotted me.
And those things happened to be
yourself. Echoes of yourself, I guess. But the conceit that's somewhat interesting is that they're trying to find you and kill you. Did you see what happens when one of them grabs you? Like, it's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Because it's yourself, like strangling you. I mean, I have a feeling y'all were like, oh, what's that?
No,
fuck it.
I sat there for like 10 minutes and watched someone play it.
All you can see is one dude who's never played the game before trying to figure it out, and the developer's off to the side talking to one person. We were there for like 15 minutes, didn't get it. And
isn't the demo running on... Isn't there the video running on the screen?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But still, but you can't hear it.
You can't hear
it and still
have no fucking idea what's going on.
Okay, so there's echoes of yourself in your environment, and they're just kind of standing around, just walking around very slowly. I guess looking for you. You're trying to get to your objective point, you know? And you can run and climb over things and open doors, and you have a gun that you can shoot if you want. But the conceit is that everything in the environment, I mean, all the enemies in the environment, if they see you do something, they'll learn from it. And you'll see, anytime you do something, it almost kind of looks like a last known position, like echo of yourself. Like, you see it happening. Like,
yeah.
So, say, they just learned something from me. You'll see that happen.
I thought that literally was a last known position. I thought you were just trying to stealth away. I didn't know there was more to that.
So it's this weird trade-off of, like, I need to get to my objective without being seen, but I feel like sometimes I need to run, or sometimes I need to hop over this wall, or sometimes I need to run through this water, but the trade-off is, well, they're going to learn from this. And that becomes dangerous because, like, when you start the stage, you'll see people just kind of standing on the other side of, like, a pool of water, right? One that is really shallow you can walk into, but they're trying to get to you, but they won't walk in the water because they don't know that they can walk in the water yet. But as soon as you walk in the water, you'll see that echo of yourself, and that they've learned it. And they have these blackout periods where when a blackout happens, you can do anything you want. They won't learn from it.
Sure.
But as soon as that blackout goes away, everything that they've learned from that before that blackout is now applied, and now they know that stuff. So, like, if you're just running to your point, like shooting people as you go, after that blackout, they'll start doing that.
They'll start running.
So it's all this kind of like push and pull of like, is it really worth it? Maybe I'll just haul ass during a blackout. It's a cool idea. It has a cool look to it. It's just...
So that's a lot deeper than what it seems like on the
surface. Yeah, sure. You would never be able to tell what the fuck was going on from watching it.
But that is cool, though.
And it is well, a very...
I was talking to the developer before I played it, and that's how I kind
of... This is one of those kiosks where they have, like, one or two stations, but only, like, one developer there to talk to people.
One station, one developer.
I will say this, and, you know, this is just... You probably... I mean... I didn't like the look of the game. I don't know
coming
why.
From someone who thinks ReCore looks good. I'm just kidding.
You're not kidding.
I'm not kidding. I think that game looks better than ReCore.
I mean, stylistically, you know, I see where
it is in the indie mega booth. I don't think it's going to be $40.
It's just I'm not saying like technically it didn't look good. I'm saying aesthetic, like the art style that they went with.
It's very strange.
I didn't really like it very much, and I like strange things. I just for whatever reason it didn't grab me like I think you expected it to.
It was like a horror game in Versailles. It was weird.
See, I didn't even get horror vibes.
And it was like whitewashed.
You know what? I'm going to show you a trailer later because when I told you like it gave me Dead Space vibes, it was before I played the game. It was based on this trailer that I saw. I'm going to show you that trailer. You'll see what I'm
show me the trailer.
Because it's creepy. When you're being strangled by yourself, it's creepy.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I'll tell you about creepy. I'll tell you about getting strangled later. What? Creepy.
Creepy.
Wow. I played Halo Wars 2. Like a multiplayer match of Halo Wars 2.
Real quick, has anyone else in this room ever played Halo Wars?
I played a demo.
More than like 5 minutes.
It's an RTS, right? On a console.
Well, I assumed you had played it.
So, it is an RTS. And it came on Xbox 360. One of the big things about Halo Wars was the cutscenes were all done by Blair, just like the new Halo 2 cutscenes,
which are fucking gorgeous.
And they're incredible. If you haven't had a chance, go watch the Three Elites versus the Three Spartans.
I would watch
video from Halo Wars.
I would watch the entire movie.
So we played a multiplayer match and we totally destroyed because three people who'd played Halo Wars.
Okay,
before.
Real quick before you get too far. So the original Halo Wars was developed by.
Ensemble,
which is no longer a studio, right?
And it's now gone. And this who's is making Creative this Assembly, one? I think.
Creative Assembly, the guys who made Alien Isolation.
And RTSs?
Sure.
Yeah.
But to me, they will always be the studio that made Alien Isolation.
So right now...
Spartan Total Warrior?
Right now, there's a little, like... It's a little, like rough, obviously. I mean, it's kind of a alpha.
It's a ways out, right?
So. Yeah, it was a little laggy when you actually went to go select things.
Were you playing on PC or Xbox?
The Xbox version.
Gotcha.
And so, I don't know whether the other team just was not good at the game, or we were just really awesome. We had watched people play it before, and it was like a 15-minute game, and it was just whoever captured the most amount of bases won. And within like 3 minutes, we had captured the three main bases, and then we went to go capture the other ones. And then we had all of them. We went and go and attacked the enemy base. And destroyed the enemy base, and the guy who was like coaching us or whatever was like, "Oh, no one's ever done that before." And then he like hesitated for a minute, and then he said, "Victory!" It's like, "Oh, you guys won, sweet!"
So it sounds to me like it'd be really easy, especially in an event like PAX, to pair people. I mean, there are some genres sure that may not have necessarily the mainstream appeal, you know, first person shooters or whatnot.
Right.
So like, it's really easy to end up being paired with someone who was just curious about the game, wanted to try it out, but like doesn't play that genre of game. Like Brad said, I don't play many RTSs. Neither does Crispy, right?
Do you? Not really. Yeah.
Yeah, and like we played that VR game, which was called Coryx, right?
Coryx. Yeah.
Yeah, and neither one of us play RTSs, and it looked cool.
That was
but
really...
like. I would have fucked that up hard.
Yeah,
right? Hard.
Sure. So, I mean, it was fun to someone who played.
That's actually one of the reasons why I never like. Whenever I go to these shows and I see an RTS, I wish I was better at RTSs. I used to play.
Well, I'm good.
I used to play Warcraft.
I just have fun with them.
I played Warcraft for a while. I think I won like in my life, like collectively, like
that's
four thing. Games of Warcraft.
I don't play. I don't play the all multiplayer because I suck.
Oh yeah.
There we go. That's a strategy.
But I have fun playing the gameplay of like a campaign or whatever.
Does this continue to be a RTS that controls well on a console?
It does. Absolutely. They
that's
stuck
the important
with this.
Thing. That's what made Halo Wars the first one a big deal.
Yeah, because so you're able to like tap the right bumper in order to like select all the enemies on all your units on the screen.
All units.
And then yeah, and then if you hold it down, the guy goes all units, and then he selects everything on the map.
Yeah.
And so all of your units all together.
Yeah.
And the D-pad is like very easily swapped between your bases and stuff like that. So the controls are just as excellent as they were in the original Halo Wars. So
yeah, it's one of those things that like once they got that working well, I imagine they probably wouldn't want to touch it.
Yeah, too dramatically. It's great. So I'm looking forward to it. Comes out next year, like February, I think, something like that.
Sweet. It's awesome. Another early 2017 game.
Yeah, right. It's gonna be awesome.
Well, then all that stuff's gonna be pushed back, and that's basically gonna make 2017.
All right. What else? Let's keep going. What are we going? What else we got?
Death Square.
Yes, Crispy and I.
That game's fun.
Crispy and Ed, in separate occasions, played Death
Square. Well, Nick and I tried it, and then.
Me and a friend tried it. We played the two-person version, and then later that evening, I watched four of my friends all play the four-person version.
See, I didn't realize. So we played it, and then at the end, I was like, "Please tell me there's four-player co-op." And yeah. He's like, "Yep."
Yeah. So that, it's two or four-player.
So
and not one.
Yes, right. It's two or four.
Well, you can play by yourself.
But
you
have control.
But it's two-person, one controller, and you control both the things.
This is one of those games like Overcooked recently that I played and I was instantly like, I can't wait to play this on the feed.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to play and for people to watch. So, conceptually, so essentially, you play as different color squares on this grid-based map or grid-based maps that are like made of squares.
And your goal is to get on the circle that's the same color.
Yeah, so you are a red square and some of your other partners maybe a blue square, and you have to get your red square onto the red square onto circle, like the red circle and blue square onto the blue circle. And then when you both achieve that, you've completed the mission. However, if you roll your if you land on a certain square that is has like I don't I'm trying to remember what the,
like so there are like things that like if you land on
sometimes
if you're blue and you land on the blue circle that ends the match or whatever it does something somewhere else on the map. You can pop up spikes or whatever so if someone's
but
like
it changes.
In the wrong place it changes the map as you do things.
So like you'll literally get to a point. It's like you think it's a really easy like I'll just go here and we'll sit on the squares and it's fine, but like you don't realize that in this particular level when you get to the blue circle it's going to like you said pop up spikes. Or it's going to just drop certain squares off the map.
Or it's
going to
move squares around and possibly push people off.
Which might just instantly knock the red square out and kill them. So the goal is to be very, very careful about how you do it. And a lot of it's, you know, you'll play a mission and then just see what happens. And then
and it's very, very collaborative, too.
And it becomes this co-op. It's like, all right, you go there and stay there. Don't move. Like, sometimes it's even tied to what your character's movement.
Yeah. The really challenging stuff is the elements that move just based on your character. Like, the one level we were playing where there was a red laser and a blue laser. And the red laser moves with the red cube and the blue laser moves with the blue cube. And you can't be hurt by a laser that's the same color as you, but if you touch the other laser, it kills you. So you're both trying to, like, move across this big, like, cross-shaped, like, course.
Yeah.
And try to, like, get to the other side of each of your individual tracks without killing the other. Like, you have to, like, block lasers for them and, like, move around and kind of, like, do these little, like, weird shuffle moves to kind of, like, scooch past stuff. Like,
it's cool. And as it gets more complicated, it get like on top of just trying to get across the map to the colored circles, like sometimes you have to work together with the other person to actually like make it possible to get to certain places.
Yeah.
Like there was one point where I had to position myself on a block and then Crispy had to move his block over underneath and I had to like sit on top of it and then he had to move me across the map.
Yeah.
And like but as he's doing that, and he's landing on squares, that could potentially cause something to happen. Something, yeah. And it just becomes this, like it's always a surprise. Like, oh, shit, that's what happens when you do it. And it just becomes...
And you're kind of learning the map as you play until you finally get to a final solution,
and
which is really
it ended
satisfying.
Up being a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, so this is a game I'm really... And it's simple, though. Like, the rules are simple enough.
I mean, it's enough of a mind fuck for two people to try to play it. I can't imagine what four players
dude I can't wait to try four players. This is gonna be a nightmare. I can't wait. It's gonna be like Overcooked, having too many fucking cooks in the kitchen. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Briefly, I would like to mention that I spoke with the developer of Chasm. I also played through the demo.
You grilled him, didn't you?
Well, I've been a little concerned about this game. I mean, it's been kickstarted and announced for a very long time, and they've not been saying anything about early access, about you know, finally coming out, you know, and it looks like it's still not coming out this year. But I was a little worried that this thing might end up a fucking roguelike or some shit. I feel like a lot of indie games start out as one thing and then they're like, ah, fuck it, we're a roguelike now. Like Galaxy, that happened to, you know? Mm-hmm. It looks like it has roguelike elements, but in reality, it is just a seed that you roll when you start the game.
Yeah.
But it stays that. So, you know, a lot of roguelikes, if you die and you start again, you have like one life, and if you die, it's completely different. Games don't like that. It basically is rolling your castle, if you will, like Castlevania style castle or your Metroid world. But you play through that. You know, it has a story. It has a set of bosses. You know, it has, but elements of it are still randomized. It's just like, oh, I beat Symphony of the Night. Oh, I want to play Symphony of the Night again. Now, when you play it, it's completely different. And that's kind of cool.
So is it kind of like Rogue Legacy was, where it re-rolled the castle every time you...
Rogue Legacy does that every time you die. This game is a game. It's a single-player game.
The world never changes.
Every time you do a new playthrough,
okay, cool,
it's completely different. But like,
if you can like save and quit and come back, and then it'll still be the same.
Yeah, sure.
Or die. You know, it's but like it's designed in such a way where like key moments, like the story and the bosses, and like
particular. You could talk a little louder, because this thing doesn't pick you up nearly as well as that does.
Well, I'm looking at the levels.
Okay,
just pretty good.
Just making sure.
Also, it will have an early access, and I was worried about that, you know, because they just announced the Divinity Original Sin 2 early access, and it was like, no, just come out, because I want to play it so bad. But he said that they're doing it because they have to, because of Kickstarter, and that they're aiming that early access probably only going to last about a month before the game finally releases.
Just to satisfy that.
Yeah, just to satisfy the promise. And he's saying that it's probably going to hit in early 2017, which is good, because I really, really want to play this game. It looks great. If you grew up playing Eovanias or whatever, it really, really captures, you know, Eovanias to a T. So I'm very excited for Chasm. I was just glad that it still looks good, it plays good, and you know, it seems to be coming along well. So
cool. What else?
I played a game called Mirage Arcane Warfare.
I saw that.
This is the next game by the developers that did Chivalry, if you recall.
Chivalry. I don't know. It's the one with the scream button.
Right. The one with the scream button.
Anything like that in this one?
I tried and I couldn't find one. Yeah.
That's the best part.
The scream button.
Chivalry's like the medieval fighting
arena. Oh, I remember.
This one is another kind of melee based competitive online multiplayer game. But it's much smaller in terms of like team size, like 6v6.
That's Chivalry.
No, Chivalry was a lot bigger than that.
Maybe they got Mountain Blade.
No, Chivalry was like a lot of those matches were like 16 versus 16 or some shit like that, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, there's no like other like units or anything like that. There's no, at least this demo didn't really have any extraneous objectives or anything. It was like a game of capture the points, you know, that kind of thing. But you have different character classes. There's like five or six. They had one that was blocked out. I think that would have been six. But they're all like, you know, sword and melee weapon type characters. You'll have one that has like a big shield and a spear, or you'll have one that has like
she's like really quick and has a curved sword and uses like a hook shot to like pull people in, you know, yeah. Shit like that. Specializes in throwing traps. But then there's also like there's a wizard who doesn't use any melee whatsoever. He just like throws fireballs and has like spells that he can do, but he's super squishy, you know. Yeah, he's super squishy. But it was really like fun. This is
someone who takes a lot of damage.
The game is still I think this was pre-alpha. But it was a lot of fun. The different characters played pretty differently. Any of the melee characters that you end up playing still have that really cool, like, chivalry style, like swing mechanic where, you know, left mouse button does, like, kind of a over, like a, you know, like a horizontal slash. You can do, roll your mouse wheel forward to do a stab, do it backwards to do, like, a big overhead slash kind of thing. But watching how that mechanic interacted with some of the new mechanics, like the magic and, like, traps that some of the characters can use was really neat. Like, I was playing a wizard, and he just shoots fireballs, but he has a special, like, everyone has, like, three special abilities besides their main attack, right? And one of his is he can levitate. So if you're like on a point and like some dude, like some big fucking dude with a spear and a sword and an axe or whatever comes at you, you can just
all
like
three?
Yeah, dude, like yeah, it could happen. You know, he's just like anything. He's like juggling
sword,
them.
Spear,
yeah,
axe.
He's juggling them around and like attacking you with each of them. But you can hit this button and he just like levitates, you know, like 10 feet off the ground, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but when everybody in the game is swinging swords and you're just flying above their heads shooting fireballs down at them, it's really fucking fun. Like, it's cool.
Where was this? I don't even see it.
Or was it in a corner?
Yeah, this was over in like the third hall somewhere.
You haven't even been to that hall yet, Brett.
What third hall?
Sixth floor.
No, I've been up there.
Oh. Yeah, this is Mirage.
Sixth floor, is it?
Yeah, it's on the sixth floor. No. I think it's over.
It was in a corner.
In that second. Yeah.
There are corners on the sixth floor.
It's in PAX West. I know that. But it was really cool. The different. Like, I sat and played two or three matches and played different characters, and there's a good variety between them. Honestly, it seems to me kind of like a more likely successor to something like. What was that fucking that melee game that's coming out? The competitive one.
For Honor?
No. The one that they haven't talked about in a year. That kind of just like disappeared. With like kind of the steampunk feel to it. Like they had dudes with big swords
and
then like
Cry.
A Battle Cry. This seems like kind of like what Battle Cry was.
I thought we'd. Oh, I'm thinking of Battleborn again.
Yeah, you're thinking of Battleborn.
God!
You can't remember the name of Battleborn.
You're thinking of
Battleborn. Damn it. I can't believe those are two different games. I'm sorry. I know we've had this conversation before. I cannot believe.
They barely even resemble each other.
I can't believe.
Yeah, not at all.
To me, they are. To me, in my brain, they are identical.
Battle Chasers?
No, it's called Battlefield.
That's different.
You know what game I was really, really, really psyched about finally playing?
Battlefield 1?
No.
I have no idea, then. No.
I played some Divinity Original Sin 2. They were showing off, like, the versus mode. Which, you know, I just kind of wanted to, like, fuck around with some spells and some, like, the UI. They really cleaned that up. But it was me versus another guy. We each had two characters. It was, like, a turn-based battle in, like, an arena.
Yeah.
There's some really smart improvements. Like, the AI's really improved. They have these, like, the more powerful spells are linked to, like, these like standing on spots in the environment that will give you like surges or whatever. You kind of need those points to do more powerful spells. Also, like height is a much bigger deal. It'll increase like the range and damage of like your archers and stuff. I was playing a rogue and a ranger, and my opponent was playing a mage and a warrior, and mages are like fucking godlike in Divinity, but I destroyed this guy. I killed both of his dudes. He barely even hurt me, man. And I felt so bad because
you're just the Divinity god, Brad.
Well, when you're playing Divinity, you're really fucking. You're just destroying the battlefield with like elements and shit. And you're really fucking over people. You're like freezing them and burning them and electrocuting them and stunning them and tripping them on the ground. And it's just chaos, right? And, oh man, I got him in a position, and I felt bad. I was doing all this shit to him, and I looked over to him, and I was like, I felt so bad.
because I just rigged it where like I was causing him to skip turns and I had all these extra AP and I was just lobbing all kinds of crazy shit at him, and it was
that could have been you, Crispy.
It was really, really fun.
That's how I felt playing it.
Probably would have been.
Could have been.
It was really fun.
You.
I can't wait for that game. It's a bummer that September 15th is the early access. I really hope that the early access doesn't last long because I want to complete the game, and I'm tempted to start playing it before it's done. And
isn't the official release in December?
Don't do it, Brad. No, don't do it. Who knows? Early access is complete bullshit. I'm sorry. Don't do it.
But again, since Divinity Original Sin 2 was another Kickstarter game, they might be doing it just because they have to.
Hey, so here's the question. Fun. They have a big-ass dinosaur in the hall.
Big-ass
dinosaur.
Dang.
Should...
No.
Is that a game I should try?
Ark?
What is the word
Ark?
In that game?
Ark is out. Ark is Russ. It just has dinosaurs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't really even know what that
you
means.
Wouldn't
it's
like,
DayZ with dinosaurs. You like, know what DayZ is?
Yeah. Damn it.
Nick, it's one of those games where you're gonna spawn in, run around naked, and somebody with like a machine gun riding a pterodactyl is gonna murder you and take your stick that you found.
Why are there no...
And then you're never gonna want
to I don't mean to delve into this stereotype that we have on the site about me loving dinosaurs, but why is it so fucking hard to make a goddamn game that's not a... like a... fucking Rust clone that has dinosaurs.
You like Rust. In fact, you'd probably have a lot of
fun
with
Rust. I feel like every game that's come out in the past decade that has to do with dinosaurs is just not the right fucking genre.
There's a long line for that, Chris Davis.
What is the right?
I want something like Dino Crisis. I want something like the Turok. I want something like
Capcom
fucking
has their head so far up their fucking asshole that, in many ways, not just Resident Evil. That I don't think we'll ever see a Dino Crisis game or a fucking Onimusha game, or we're probably not even gonna see another Dragon's Dogma. They have these cool things and they're like, yeah, it doesn't make as much money as this other thing. We'll just throw it in the trash can. In the trash can forever until eventually they become, you know, as irrelevant as Konami, and then they just stop making games altogether, and that's how they're gonna die.
They're just a big pyre of shit.
Well, I mean,
that's
what they're becoming.
Of shit.
Oh.
Would anybody like to talk about pyre?
Let's talk about pyre.
We get it.
Yeah.
Go for the
next game from Supergiant Games. We played that today.
Developers of Bastion and Transistor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And honestly, this is... Even though I like those games, I don't... I like them mostly for their art style, their music. I liked Bastion a lot. And I like what they did with Transistor. I just don't know why, but like the actual gameplay of those games has never really like super resonated with me.
Really, because I felt like the combat of Bastion and even the combat of Transistor.
And don't get me wrong, I finished Bastion and I was like, that was a good video game.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't put it on my top 10 that year. I was just like, I don't know. It's just maybe it's just not for me. I didn't really know anything about Pyre going into it.
Well, I don't think anyone did.
Nothing. I mean, but this was at E3. I didn't play at E3. Okay.
What's better, Bastion or Bloodstone? I'm sorry, I didn't know.
What, the 007 game?
You're such a prick. Right,
nah, I was just curious. What do you
anyway,
think?
But... So, what did you think about the like,
dude, I think Pyre might be my favorite game I've played at the show so far.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I did not expect... First of all... It has pretty much everything that makes Supergiant Games great. I think it has an amazing art style. It has a terrific soundtrack. I love the voice acting. I love the art, the audio design.
The voice acting is not even really... Well, it does have voice acting.
Not voice acting, but like the sound effects. Like just... I mean, there is like... They grunt and they like...
The way they present the story, it reminds me a lot of Banner Saga.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? Yes. It is very Banner Saga. And I just like...
But with crazy sport as your combat.
So,
yeah.
But then it's a really, like, I don't even really know exactly what's happening in the story. I think it's almost...
So,
it's
like,
kind of like...
These people are banished to basically, like, purgatory.
Which is kind of what I was thinking. And they're waiting...
If you hover over the red little things, it gives you more information.
You
want
to talk about that? That's really... That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I've not seen that before, where it's kind of like... footnotes.
It's kind of like a journal, except instead of going into the journal, you can like just hover over the word,
they,
and it tells you more information.
They have a cursor, Destiny style,
and like certain parts of dialogue that appear on screen
will be highlighted.
Just hover over it. It's like when, because they're throwing around like a lot of high fantasy does. They're just throwing around a lot of their own terminology,
like vocabulary,
and like they're just trying to immerse you in it. But instead of you having to like go back and forth between some kind of fucking journal, you can just like look up footnotes on everything. Yeah. Which is
don't turn it
very
down too
smart.
Far.
You don't have to.
It gets so cold in here. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
Sometimes I think you're a 70-year-old woman.
It's alright. But so,
sometimes I think you're an 80-year-old man, Brad.
Oh, you're
no, just a fat dude. It gets hot.
So the way the story was presented was cool, but the combat was just still kind of like funky.
Dude, okay, so
it's
I had no idea. I had no idea this game's combat was like a. Was like fucking.
It's Powerball from American Gladiator,
yeah. Dude.
It's Powerball.
It made me think about playing Rocket League while playing.
Yeah.
Rocket. So
or Future Sport.
So essentially, you have two teams. So like, you enter into these combat scenarios. You have three party members on each side on each team. Each side has their own pyre and has like a certain amount of HP.
Let's call it a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a pyre. That's why the game is called Pyre. Each one has a pyre.
Yeah.
A giant fire.
That's a goal for you people at home.
But there are goals, essentially. And you have to basically hit the other... Like, you have to throw this orb, somehow get this orb,
Let's call it a ball for people at home.
You don't want to believe this is a sports game, but it is.
And you take the ball to the goal, and you score a point.
And you can, like...
No, you damage their goal.
Yeah.
Until it's at zero.
You take the orb to the pyre and
so,
sacrifice yourself.
There is a little bit of, like, combat-y stuff in it, like, with the... You can, like, project your aura or whatever, which basically means you throw something at the enemy.
Yeah. Characters have, like, an aura around them that's bigger depending on their actual, like, physical size.
Yeah.
And if you're not carrying the ball, that aura will instantly kill any teammates that wander into it. If you're carrying the ball, that aura goes away, so you have to avoid other people's auras while you're carrying the ball and try and get it to the goal.
Yeah.
But there's
no, you're trying to get
a lot of times,
to the fire.
A lot of times there's someone guarding the goal. We'll call them a goalie.
It's
also like reverse dodgeball.
They're called a guardian.
It's like reverse dodgeball too, where you're throwing yourself into the pyre.
Yeah.
So you're sacrificing yourself. It's like reverse dodgeball. So if you score, you're out for that round. So it's just your other
It's not even
guys.
A round though. It's like a certain amount of time. The next round will start instantly, and that character that threw themselves into the pyre last time will appear like halfway through that round. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they're gone for the entire round.
I thought it was only if they got eliminated by an enemy aura.
Maybe.
If you jump in the pyre, it says it has a little infinity sign over there.
Yeah.
Over there. Apparently.
It's basically so that because it seems like a balancing act because this was really cool. This was a really fun game. I love the presentation of it. I like the idea of the right, which is the sport that you're playing.
Yeah.
But it feels like they're still trying to figure out exactly how to balance it.
Or to at least make it more interesting.
Right, because when you're on offense, like, you don't really have to do a lot.
Yeah.
You don't really have to do a lot to score a goal. Like, it seems like the burden is so unfairly on the defenders.
Well, I think because this was a fairly long demo of the game, so not only do they let you play, two matches of the actual right, but then there was a bunch of stuff outside of that, a lot of dialogue, a lot of actually. So you had this, you're traveling across this world in like a caravan,
Banner Saga or Oregon Trail.
Yeah, but you make these stops and you actually have to collect resources and have conversations and make decisions.
Oh, well, those stops, like, you pitch a camp for the night.
Yeah,
and it gives you three options, but you can only do one.
Yeah,
so you can either like level up a member of your team. You can forage for food, which you need in the journey part of the game. Like,
yeah.
You need fuel and food for your camps to get to, like, where you have to go in the world to play these games. Or you can...
read the book.
You can read the book, which in the world of Pyre, like, literacy is forbidden. So people who can read, quote, readers, are, like, really rare, and they have a lot of power because they can decipher old texts by
fucking reading them.
Yeah.
So you can do that. You can read another page of the book to, like, learn shit. So,
yeah, I wasn't sure how deep the like, caravan, like, resource management system
see,
was.
I don't think this demo was designed to really show you how deep any one of their systems goes.
Yeah.
I think it's just, like, to show you... I think the demo is very well designed in that it was built to really just show you all the different facets of
the
game.
Different slices of the game.
Because there are lots of facets of this game. There is the traversal. There is the resource management. There is the leveling up and the learning of the world and the lore. And then there's the sport game. And I think this demo was designed to kind of show you bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But, like, even to the jump from that first, that like, tutorial-based level to the second game that you play, it was a pretty big jump. Like, suddenly there were obstacles in the mm-hmm. environment. The opposing team was more aggressive, was running around
and
faster.
And they did, like, they changed up their strategy, like, yeah. partway through.
But I like it because it's cool, because you can dash through the... through the arena, and then if someone's closing in, you can hold a button and use your stick to pass the ball to another player, which then they obviously can start running. But like,
and you can also throw the ball into
transferring of energy.
But then
you can also throw the ball into the goal.
You can
as well,
throw the ball into the goal. Cool. You can actually jump. You can jump over characters into the fire.
Yeah, that is cool.
But and it's cool. And I did I managed to do like a score the goals like all basically all those ways they kind of hint that you can do it. And it got pretty tense, and I was really enjoying it. I hope it gets deeper than that.
I made a pretty big mistake, and the other team scored on me a couple times, and that was something that I was really surprised it seemed like the game was really easy, and then when they finally scored on me, I was like, maybe there's something deeper to it. I just feel like there wasn't enough diversity in the combat to actually carry the game.
I just want to see what a late level. I want to see what a late level match this
game
is
was like the beginning of the game.
Sure,
but like the whole concept of the game seems really interesting as a single player.
Yeah,
like, because you have to manage all you have to control all three members of your team at once. It kind of makes me feel like if this game was a multiplayer game where like everyone was just controlling one character and there were six people playing, this would be like NBA Jam or something.
Yeah.
Like,
nothing wrong with
like,
that.
Well, no, but like, it doesn't seem like, for being like the main hook of the game, it seems like the only real innovation is that it's slightly harder because you have to control everybody by yourself.
Wonder if they're gonna do that. Like, what, I wonder what would be stopping them from introducing just a simple, like, multiplayer component. Like, with friends. Because,
I applaud them for really trying something out there.
Yeah. Dude, their games...
Their games have been very different.
They've reworked
the combat system.
I still think...
Like, it's beautiful. In the soundtrack, just like the last two games, is fucking gorgeous. Yeah.
I still think, Crispy, because you haven't played Bastion or Transistor, I still think at the very least you should play Bastion.
Yeah.
That one's easy to get into.
Yeah.
Transistor's fun, too.
Transistor is fun.
The couple hours.
Yeah, I need to finish that.
Me too.
What else? What else we have? I know there are other things. War Cube.
We did play a little bit of War Cube.
Play a little War Cube.
What we played, the demo we played was cool.
This
really
is another game
it.
That I lived vicariously through Crispy.
Right, but like, I still don't understand what this game's supposed to be.
Well, the funny thing is, like, we talked to the developer, it's being developed by one guy, and... the way he described it, especially from the development standpoint, was like he was literally like, "I got really tired of you know trying to conform the game to one specific genre or everything conforming to one specific theme." I decided at some point in development that like, if this would be really cool if I did this, but you know it doesn't really conform to the theme of the game. I was just like, "Fuck it, I'll just put it in anyways." And he's like, "That's kind of how this game what has shaped this game. It's open world. You play as this like." Cube warrior.
You play as a cube. You play as the war cube.
The war cube.
He's like the Conan the Barbarian of cubes.
But he's like, if there was anything that I just thought, you know, would be cool in the game, I didn't let something like not conforming to the themes of the existing material stop me from putting it in the game.
Well, the demo was basically just like one section of the game. So So it seems like the game is going to have this big, like, overworld kind of, like, strategy management thing to it, where you're, like, building an army and managing that army and using the, like, commanding soldiers and stuff like that.
That are all cubes.
That are all cubes. But then there's, like, these kind of just action game levels where you're running around at, like... Which this was the entirety of the demo. You're running around a level as the war cube, fighting other cubes, and it's all like action games. So you know, X is sword, Y is it was either Y or trigger is shoot an arrow. But it had a really cool kind of like physics based flow to combat, where like the big hook to it was. The war cube is able to take on a lot of enemies at once because he's got a lot of these moves where, like, you'll do a hit, and then if you immediately hit the attack button again and hold, it brings up this, like, kind of arrow, like, aiming system where you can point him at another enemy in slow-mo and let go, and he'll, like, chain together, and it's like he's just fucking cleaving through crowds of these people. And
cubes.
Well, yeah, cubes. God damn it. And there's a lot of, like, improvisation in combat. So, like, there's a part in the game where you get flung by a catapult into a different section of the level, and there's a bunch of enemies there, like, waiting to attack you, but you can hit the arrow button and hold it to, like, go into a slow-mo thing, and, oh, there's a red barrel right there. Shoot that. It blows up. You hit the ground. You slice one guy. Like, target the next guy. Run through him. Target the next. It was fun. Like,
and the feedback, like, it looked like it, like, just watching Crispy play it, like, watching the, just imagining what the feedback felt like, even just watching it felt good.
Yeah.
Like, from a,
like that aspect of the gameplay is really solid and really fun, and you can tell it's one of those games where, like, he started with the gameplay first and then was like, okay, what does the coat of paint on this look like?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, it's, you know, I'm not really an artist, let's just make it cubes, you know. Yeah. Whatever. Like, but it's really cool. I want it for it to be something, for it to be a game that I really want to get into. I just want to know, like, how that one little bit that we played plays into the whole, like,
yeah,
metagame.
Yeah. And he did say it's open world, and you're going around and you're, like, claiming castles and going into these big battles and whatnot. I think all that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Looks pretty cool. So I'm definitely definitely interested in seeing more of that. What else? Like I said, I'm saving this one for last.
That was the end of my list.
I did play Abduction. I don't really want to talk much about it. I didn't really manage
to
do
Mist
much.
Successor?
The Mist thing, yeah. It seems pretty cool, but I didn't really achieve much during my time with it. So I don't really have much to say. And the game's out. I'd rather wait and talk about it later if I actually play it at home. What's going on? Brad, do you have anything else on your list?
Yeah.
What you got?
I finally played Pit People, which is the new game from the Behemoth. You know, which you might know them as the guys that made Castle Crashers, Battle Block Theater, Alien Hominid. And, you know, it definitely has that style. You know, the game has a narrator that's very funny.
Yeah,
very much like, you know, like Battle Block Theater and
Castle Crashers. Yeah,
it's really funny this time. Like, yeah. I like the voice actor too, and it's weird. It's like a strategy game, kind of like Advance Wars or something, but it's pretty simple.
It reminds me a lot of Banner Saga, like the combat part of Banner Saga.
Sure, but like their conceit is that, hey, it's like a fast moving. It's like a fast move.
It's fine.
What?
Like a fast moving strategy game, because you move all your dudes on the same turn and you hit a button and then they all, like, execute their action at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a lot of menus and stuff. You just, you know, based on the weapon that you have and where you position them, they'll just kind of automatically do it. You position, you know, the lady that has a mace next to, you know, a dude that is wearing armor, you know, because she does more damage to dudes with armor, that kind of thing. And do a stop and start. Yeah.
Feed's dead.
So, like, it is cool, and it's real snappy, and it has a lot of style and a lot of humor. It's weird. It's a weird
you know, genre that they're tackling for these guys, because I feel like, you know, it is the humor and the look that people like that draws people to these games, and I don't know if this one's, they've been working on it for a long time, but I don't know if people's really gonna reach that many people, because it's, I liked it, but I don't like necessarily like stuff that the mainstream likes. As opposed to Castle Crashers, which can appeal to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna be weird because it's like you said, the combat wouldn't appeal to a lot of people, but maybe because it's from the Behemoth and because it has that narrator with the
sense
of humor,
yeah,
Brad isn't what we would call normal.
I mean, they've been showing that game for about 2 years now, and it's always got a pretty solid response.
And they have a co-op version. There are a bunch of people playing the co-op.
Which I guess that means you just do your turns at the same time as somebody else.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, I'm definitely going to play it because...
Yeah, me too.
I just think they're a great developer that takes a long time to make their fucking games. But, you know, there's going to be a lot to love there, I'm sure. And, you know, it's scratching itches that I enjoy. I'm just worried about it being a little too shallow. But hopefully there's some... They surprise me, you know, with a depth that might please me.
Please knew the depth that will surprise me. I don't remember what it was.
Firework?
I thought we had a stable connection here.
We did at one point, and that has ceased to exist.
I turned down the bitrate.
It's going to be all the bombs falling outside.
Alright, so, Ed, do you have anything else?
You can talk about it. It's everything.
You can talk about Resident Evil.
I'm saving that for last.
I played a few things that I just want to mention. Shadow Tactics seemed pretty cool. It's like this weird, very zoomed out, isometric Tenchu style game.
In fact, you say isometric and Tenchu, and I immediately want to play it. Where is it?
It's 6-4.
All right.
Try it. It seems cool. Shadow Tactics, it seemed pretty cool. Their business card was a ninja star. I also played a little bit of this weird game called Thumper, which was kind of like this... music and rhythm. I mean, no, don't. You're a. This game's weird. Like, the whole thing looks like some weird psychedelic, like, cover of some, like, 70s rock album. It's super weird. But you're like a silver beetle looking thing racing along a track. And you're doing things that, like, to the rhythm, and the music sounds good. And it's, like, super trippy.
And it's called Thumper?
Yeah. And, like, it's all about the music, and you're doing this weird shit, and at the end of a level, there's, like, a boss, and it was, like, this floating, flaming head that I was, like, shooting energy at as I was, like, hitting the beats. It's super weird. If you're passing
through
this...
Is that also on the 6th floor?
No. It's in the Sony booth. It's a PlayStation game.
I didn't spend enough time in the Sony booth.
Walk around the Sony booth and just kind of check it out. Make sure there's no other program running in the background that might
that's
be.
I don't think there is.
What, you have like Discord and Slack and a bunch of other shit.
What the hell happened to the fucking
whoa thing? That is weird.
Oh god.
Oh, is that me?
Just just do a fit to screen or whatever. Yeah,
that's weird. Okay, sorry.
Podcast. So if you're passing through the Sony booth, just try it out. Because it's really weird. Like, it's really psychedelic, man. I was kind of feeling
and
it.
And to answer your question, AP Cricks in chat, yes, Shapes and Beats, just Shapes and Beats does have a booth here.
Yeah.
We have played that a few times, actually.
I played this game called Osiris, which
I had that on my list to play next tomorrow.
I played it because I saw this dude, like, zooming through this, like, this cool Marsy-looking planet on this, like, ship, and it looked super fun. And then I sat down and I realized, like, this is, like, No Man's Sky. Like, I even heard the developer, like, take a pot shot at No Man's Sky when he was talking to somebody else.
Was this the one on the very edge of the indie mega booth? Where he's, like, destroying the ground.
It's on the wall.
Yeah, it's back in the back corner.
Okay.
But I don't think it's part of the indie mega booth. It's on a different wall.
Oh, no, it's like, where Hob is. That wall is back there.
Haven't been along there
right
yet.
Right next to the.
I need to go back there.
It was very much like No Man's Sky, like the shit you do when you're on a planet, but like good. It It's like Subnautica on Mars.
That's cool.
Yeah. Try it out, man. It felt a lot like you're mining ore, and it even kind of like breaks apart like in No Man's
Sky.
It's
below
here? In
fact,
a little better. Maybe, I don't know.
Because below has been in every trade show for the last 8 years.
There was definitely a game that looked like kind of like...
Really?
Like, yeah. It wasn't maybe as pretty as No Man's Sky, but there was a game I was looking at that was like, that is just...
That's the
a
one
super indie No Man's Sky.
That's what I was talking about. The one in the mega booth.
Well, I mean, with all that Sony funding, not.
You're thinking of something different. You're thinking of something different.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. Osiris is in a different part. I recommend you trying it out because you like Subnautica. You like spacemen, right?
Spacemen.
You are a spaceman.
I don't like space women. Spacemen are cool.
It is super No Man's Sky meets. Like, this is probably what No Man's Sky is going to feel like when they finally introduce those elements,
yeah,
like base building and stuff, which they plan to, I guess. So.
There's not a girl.
And that's pretty much it for me. So,
all right,
let's argue about Resident Evil.
I don't want to argue about Resident Evil.
You're
going to
talk
7.
About the kitchen demo, right?
I went and I played the demo in VR, which I didn't realize was actually just the demo for
the kitchen demo.
The kitchen, which is what they were showing the past year or two.
That was 2 years ago.
At PAX. But at the time, nobody knew this was Resident Evil 7.
Ever since they first started showing Morpheus, they've been showing kitchen demo.
Yeah, and I've never played it. I almost played it last year. Instead, we ended up playing that one game where you're...
Riggs?
No, it was the one where you're like throwing, like you're... Oh, I can't remember what it was. Point is, we ended up not playing the kitchen demo, and of course, now that I know it's Resident Evil, I'm very much interested in it. Although I was a little bummed because I was kind of fully going into this expecting to have a better idea of how Resident Evil 7 as a whole would control in VR. Because I will say this, I put it on, or the headset on, it looks really fucking good,
yeah.
Like really good. Like if you've played the Resident Evil 7 demo, I mean, obviously you're always going to take a little bit of a technical hit. You know, the resolution may not be quite as crisp. It may not be, the frame rate may not be quite as sharp, but it looks good. And I like, as far as being immersed, it's really fucking immersive. And the
scared?
Problem is this particular demo doesn't have you do anything. The entire demo takes place in a chair. You are strapped to a chair. You wake up in the chair in this kitchen. Your hands are bound with rope, and your feet. There's a camcorder watching you. There's a guy on the floor who's been injured. And the first thing you have to do is use your hands to like shove the camera on the ground. And then as soon as you do that, it kind of triggers all the events to start playing out, which is the guy on the floor starts to kind of come to, and he wakes up, and he's like, "We gotta get out of here." And he grabs this knife, and he's like kind of injured and out of it. And he's like, "I need to cut your rope, but I can't really see straight. So hold your hands." So you have to hold your hands like this while he's like sawing with the knife, and he has to like get him to cut the rope.
That
right.
That part is from another demo, the other demo
from the kitchen.
Other Resident Evil demo.
No, none of this was in the Resident Evil 7 demo.
Well, I've seen that scene before. So.
Yeah, I mean, the kitchen's been around for a while. I actually never watched that demo. I remember being curious about it. I never actually watched it, though. It actually makes a lot of sense now, because you can definitely tell it's Resident Evil 7, now that we know what Resident Evil 7 is. But as he's like trying to help you, you see like kind of behind him some like a figure drop down from the ceiling behind him, and then this crazy woman walks up and like stabs him through the chest right in front of you, and then like just starts stabbing
him
to death.
Keeps stabbing.
And then she grabs him by his hair and drags him around the corner, and you just hear him getting murdered. And I was like, okay, I was like, this is really fucked up. And I, at some point, I was like, oh my god, if they ever let me out of this chair, I'm not going to be able to move. Because it was actually really creepy. But then she comes around and she gets like right in your face, and it's like. You know, everyone's drawing comparisons to PT. Like, you can tell some of the inspiration for the way these monster designs are now, that there was some inspiration taken from PT, because the character looks really unhealthy looking and like disheveled, and her hair is all kind of stringy, and she's like, aww, her eyes are kind of bloodshot, and she's looking at you, and she's doing like weird shit with her hands.
Creepy ghost lady.
Creepy ghost lady, but she's not a ghost. She's
monster.
Zombie or monster. Something. Who the fuck zombie knows? Lady. Who the fuck knows what she is? Hill exactly. People. Yes, sure.
Hillbillies.
But at one point she walks up to you. She gets in your face. She does this thing where she's just trying to creep you out, and she like takes a knife and like puts it like right in front of your eye, and it's like right fucking there. But then she walks around behind you, and you can hear her shuffling around behind you. But you can actually like, I did this before this happened, like, because when you're wearing the VR, you can actually like turn and look over your shoulder, and you can see the room behind you, and you can like look around and everything.
Yeah.
And she walks behind you, and you can hear her like breathing like right in your ear and like touching you, and ugh. And I was just like, I'm not looking behind this. I'm not doing it. I'm not looking behind me. This is too fucked up.
Did you?
No, because then she starts to like, she's like behind you, she's like puts her head over the top of you and like gets right down in front of your face. I don't know, she's just like, you're sitting in a chair, so she's just like, yeah, just like that. After she sufficiently freaks you out, she just grabs your head and like snaps your neck or something.
It'd be cool if she like reacted differently if you like turned around and looked at her.
Yeah. Well, she gets right up in your face at one point, and I completely forgot because I was sitting here for like 10, 20 seconds just like, oh my god, she's like right in your face. And I was like, oh yeah, they do that at the very beginning. They have you knock over the camera so you can like push her back, which I did because it's using the color on the DualShock to the light to like, yeah, because like, so when you're looking at your hands, like you're holding the controller in your hand, but like you can actually do this, and like the character will do that in the game, or else you can like push her over. It's funny because when the game first booted up, or when the demo first booted up, it wasn't synced right. So like you put the headset on, and my headless body was sitting like right here, and I was like on the outside looking in, and there was just like a headless body in a chair, and I was like I think that's my body. And he's like oh yeah, we need to reset this.
I think that's me.
But yeah, I mean, like,
are you gonna consider getting a Morpheus or a PlayStation VR?
I'm actually going to wait for Resident Evil 7, and if the game gets good reviews and it gets good reviews in VR, like people say the VR is legit and you can play it, I will absolutely buy a PlayStation VR to play this game.
It'll be so spooky.
I will say this. It is immersive enough that I won't be able to play it like that in its entirety. I was really dreading them actually letting me get up out of that chair. And I still don't know how that's supposed to fucking work, because I really don't know how you're supposed to play and control the controller but still be able to move your head around. I don't know how that's going to work. So I'm still very worried about that. But if it comes out and they found a way to make that work and people are saying it's good, the VR is good enough that I will absolutely, that will be a hardware seller for me. Yes. But yeah, like I said, still very much on the fence on it, because I still don't fucking know how you play this game in VR, like the actual Resident Evil 7. But anyways, proceed. If you have any questions or thoughts about the game, by all means, I'm ready to address them.
Was it spooky?
Dude, it's fucking scary. Yeah, it's fucking scary. I just don't know. Like, I'm strapped to a fucking chair the entire time.
Was it to like when she snaps her neck at the end and your head goes like 180 degrees the other way?
It just cuts to black and then
it's really over. Disorienting.
I mean, it literally just, like, she grabs you, as soon as she grabs your head, like, the camera turns real fast, and then it's just black, and then it's like, hey, how is the demo? But, like, it's funny, because they take you into a side, they took us into this room. I don't know, I'm sure people have seen the pictures of this giant Resident Evil 7, like, house they have on the show floor. They did the same thing at E3. But, like, they have, like, five or six rooms, and they're just they're individual rooms. You go in by yourself, they have a TV set up and a headset, dark room, and there's a guy that shows you how to, hooks you up and everything.
Is he creepy?
No, he's a very nice fellow.
Oh, okay.
But like, he's in the room. He's in the room with you while I'm playing. I can't see him, obviously, and I'm just sitting here. It would have been actually good. I thought about having. I didn't know if I was gonna be alone or other people. I was like, maybe you should come in and film me doing this. I totally should have, because it would have been good. It was just us alone in the room, and I know this guy was in the room watching me, but I'm sitting here. I was like, oh my god, and just like reacting to it. It would have been good video.
Wait,
I think,
you,
but hey,
like, when you were talking about like being allowed to get up out of the chair,
Do they, like, secure you to the chair in the
down? Oh, what? No, no, no. I was not physically secured to a chair.
They're like, people get really disoriented playing VR, so sit in this chair and we're just going to put some safety belts on you.
Here's what's misleading and what's...
If you can't move, that means it's working.
Here's what's upsetting and misleading and I'm not very happy about, and that's the fact that they're saying, come play Resident Evil 7 in VR, and it's not Resident Evil 7 in VR. It is literally a tech demo that they used to, like, probably prototype Resident Evil 7 at some point.
Yeah.
But it is not Resident Evil 7. You never get out of that chair. You never move around. All you can do is look around.
Maybe. Is it crazy, but maybe that, like, the kitchen came first, and then they were like, oh, this is cool. Let's make this a game and sell it. Oh!
Considering Resident
Evil... Let's just make it the new Resident Evil.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because...
Okay.
The game is coming out in January, and the kitchen's only been... They've been showing the kitchen for, like,
two years.
I think this has been related to Resident Evil 7 all along. They kept that shit under wraps for a long time.
All I know is I feel like it is now September.
Mm-hmm.
This game comes out in
January. January 24th.
And they're still showing a tech demo, a two-year-old tech demo.
Like, in VR.
That they're arguing isn't the actual game, just like with the last demo.
Dude,
like, what is going on here?
Honestly,
what is this project?
Here's the thing. I'm hoping... I obviously want to get some answers before it comes out. I want to know what the combat's like. I obviously want to know that. But I hope... I appreciate this route they're taking and that they're keeping a lot of it close to their chest. Because if that game comes out, and it's good, let's just say it's good. If it comes out in January, and it turns out it's good... And I don't know, at that point I still don't really know all that much about the project. That's going to be fucking unprecedented. Every game these days comes out, and we fucking know everything about it before it even fucking comes out. If they manage to get this game onto a shelf, and it's good, and it's still partially a mystery, that'd be fucking amazing. It'd be great. So I kind of hope they continue that route. I don't necessarily buy that this is going to work in VR. If they manage to pull that off, it'll be fucking amazing, because it's going to scare the shit out of me. But who knows?
Well...
Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck knows?
You never can tell with these things, you know? You just gotta wait and see, Nick.
Yeah, but I'm excited. For the first time in a long time with Resident Evil, I am fucking excited.
It's amazing what doing something completely different will do for a stale series.
Although, they're still insisting that this somehow has something to do with the same universe, and that's just fucking weird. Wow. Just let it go.
Resident Evil didn't get stale, it got bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it got stale, and then it got bad.
It got bad. And then it got amazing, and then it got pretty cool with Resident Evil 5,
like,
and
Resident
then it got bad.
Resident Evil 4 was good, and then Resident Evil 5 was, like, good, but, like, not that different, and then Resident Evil 6 was trash.
You're off. Resident Evil
You're
4,
off!
Resident Evil 4 was a masterpiece.
You're out of line.
Resident Evil 5 is great.
Great?
Yes.
It is a great video game.
One of the best co-op video games ever.
I would not consider it a great Resident Evil game, but it is a great
game.
Name a better co-op campaign
than Resident Evil 5.
Mm. Well, don't put me on the spot.
Portal.
Boom! I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's a little different. But,
changing the rules.
And then Resident Evil 6 sucked. That's why they're trying something new.
Big balls. I thought after 6, they would want to completely revitalize that franchise and by completely distancing themselves from anything that came before it. And they, for the most part, they seem to have done that. Except in interviews where they say, well, technically this is the same universe. Like, why? Why does it even need to be the same universe? We know from the ESRB description that came out that was leaked last week that it has something to do with a man who has never been in the series before trying to find his missing wife. Why they even have to bring up the fact that it takes place in the same universe as the Umbrella Corporation or Leon or any of that shit makes me very nervous.
There's going to be an Umbrella Corp lab under that house.
Fucking Wesker shows his face in this game. I'll flip a goddamn table.
Why?
Because
you know, Wesker seems like the best.
No, I didn't. I didn't think he was cool, Brad. Don't put words in my mouth.
What about in 1? Resident Evil 1?
No.
Good.
In
I'm
one,
glad you're admitting
he was just
he was
a fucking dude with
fucking
sunglasses with a terrible voice actor. Just like every other character in that first game.
Terrible.
He wasn't in Resident Evil 2. He didn't need to be. Fuck, I don't even think he was in 3. Was he in 3?
He was in Code Veronica.
Yeah, he was in Code Veronica. And you know what? I loved Code Veronica, but that was the first game where he started to become a magic man. Remember? He started to become a magic man. And that was literally the first time in that entire franchise. Because Resident Evil is one of my favorite franchises ever. First time I raised one of my eyebrows while playing that game. I did one of these, like, the fuck? I'll never forget that moment. And that was the moment that Wesker turned into fucking Neo from The Matrix.
I mean, that's awesome.
No!
Nemesis is pretty stupid.
No!
Yeah!
Not like Wesker! No!
Dude, okay.
No! I am not having this argument right now.
Okay.
I am not having the fucking zombie apocalypse thing as stupid. Conversation again.
No, that's
it's not stupid. No, but I mean
it's just fucking magic.
Resident Evil has never been like 28 days later or anything.
It's not.
You fight a giant snake in the first game.
Sure, fine. What's wrong with that? It's a fucking virus. It transforms tissue. It turns them into fucking bigger. What the fuck is wrong with that? No, why? Why?
I think it's always been great.
Liquors.
Nick. And all these conversations liquors. We have. You seem to not think that I am a big Resident Evil fan, but I like all the Resident Evil games. In fact, I think you should have played the one that came out last year, because that one's really good.
I did.
Too.
I played 2 chapters of it.
Well, there was 5.
I know, and
when you weren't playing it co-op,
it got too stupid for me. It got too stupid for me. You know what? I even played Resident Evil Dead Aim.
Well, that's just a bad choice.
Yeah. I played Resident Evil Dead Aim, and you know what? That was garbage.
No, but what I'm saying is...
But it didn't have Wesker in it.
I like old Resident Evil. I like modern... Well, I mean, I like 4 and 5. It's just... I think it's always kind of been dumb, and it's always kind of been action-y. But, you know...
I don't want to have this conversation. This is a conversation I don't want to have. Point is... I don't know what my point is. Alright, why are we even talking about this?
I just want this game to be fun. Do you think it's going to be fun?
Dude, I like...
Fun to play?
I like horror games. So, yes,
It'll be fun to experience if it's really scary.
Dude, I played...
But do you think it would be fun to play?
Well, here's the problem with me answering that question, Brad. I played Alien Isolation. It took me 22 hours. I did it in almost 2 days. Like, I didn't want to put that game down because I was having fun. You played Alien Isolation and didn't have fun with it, so you stopped.
Well...
So there is going to be a divide.
Honestly, I've not owned that game. I mean, I probably would play it if it was, like... charity or something. I mean,
don't put a magic man in this game. There doesn't need to be a magic man.
For charity.
Oh my god.
You don't want this ghost lady hillbilly.
She's not a ghost.
What the fuck is she?
I don't fucking know, but she's not a ghost.
She's just a swamp people.
She's a fucking crazy hillbilly. Who the fuck knows?
And she's got that swamp people.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the fucking.
Jesus.
We should have a Resident Evil podcast if you want to really hash this
what about
Brad.
The hunters from Resident Evil 1.
Dude, that's fine. Whatever. I don't give a shit about zombies or monsters. I just don't want fucking.
Backflipping T-Rexes.
I don't want backflipping T-Rexes.
No one wants that. That was Resident Evil 6.
I know.
I haven't seen the backflipping T-Rex, but. It sounds.
Dumb as shit.
Cool?
No.
Cool as in, like, Adam Jensen?
God damn it. You fucking
yes.
ass.
Yes! Doesn't matter.
All right. We need to wrap this podcast up. Is everyone in agreement?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Level 7's gonna be late.
That's,
what are we agreeing to?
All right. Not no, that.
You have to tell me what I'm agreeing to.
This podcast is over.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This podcast. Anyways. Thanks for listening. This has been our day one podcast for PAX West 2016. We'll have at least one more podcast for tomorrow, and then hopefully maybe a third one when Crispy and Brad will be here and Ed will be here on Sunday. Ooh. So maybe we'll get to record one before they leave. Who knows?
Maybe.
We'll find out. Of course, we'll get this up on 4playernetwork.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at 4playerpodcast, all that good shit, and we'll be tweeting shit throughout the day while we're there tomorrow. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye. We don't have to cut this.